In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me tell you a story of fearfulness, self-doubt, and lost opportunities. It takes place in Brisbane at the end of 1965, breakup day at Geebung Kindergarten, when all us five-year-olds moving on to primary school had brought our parents along. I was showing mine around and wanted to exhibit my prowess on the small tricycle, which was the only one I rode. It was pale blue and low to the ground and safe. My dad asked me why I wasn't riding the big tricycle, which was red and which I'd never been on. Surely you had to be a bigger kid to ride that one, or at least braver than me. Still, I didn't want to lose face in front of Dad and the other kids. So, with my heart in my mouth, I climbed onto the tailboard, then the pedals, up to the high seat. I took a fierce hold of the handlebars and started pedalling. And you know what? It was exhilarating. Faster than the small tricycle, more manoeuvrable, and a lot more fun. They couldn't get me off it for the rest of the afternoon, but then I had to leave the breakup party and go home, and I never had another chance to ride the big red tricycle. I could have been riding it all that year, but I'd lacked the imagination and the nerve and the self-belief, so I missed out. But I did learn a lesson that I've never forgotten. Anyway, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, God in person, in the midst of human life and history, is like the big red tricycle. We can be content throughout life with the small one, the safe one, the familiar one, the one that all the little kids queue up for. But with a bit more imagination and nerve and daring, we might be in for much more surprising and much more enjoyable Christian lives. After all, we do have permission. In fact, it's expected of us. We were baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit, along with the Father and the Son, completing the trifecta. Then the Holy Spirit was called down on us via the bishop's hands at our confirmation. But many of us can't really imagine what it means to be caught up by the Holy Spirit into the power of Jesus' resurrection, into the life of God, as the scripture promises, as our liturgy promises, which also means being sent out as part of the church into God's mission in the world. Now, surely that's over-egging it a bit. Surely life's small blue tricycles are far more our style, not that big scary red one on which we might surprise ourselves and others. Now friends, we're not the only ones who can't imagine that. Friedrich Nietzsche thought that Christians were weak, scared and resentful. We're secretly jealous of the big kids who get to do whatever they like, while we settle for mealy-mouthed goodness, afraid of living, dressing up our fearfulness as virtue. And it is true that the church and its members and its leaders are often keener on fitting in and not making waves, playing it safe in life and calling that morality. The fact that we fail to attract young people to the church, who often bring a greater sense of adventure, maybe because they don't see us riding the big red tricycle, which we keep locked safely away. But wait a minute, it's right there. It's freshly oiled, oiled with chrism, and it's waiting for us, bright and shiny, every morning. And it's a mean machine. Look at our readings today and you'll see just how mean. The Holy Spirit enacts this morning does no less than overturn a whole world order and start something new. All that apocalyptic language in Peter's sermon, picking up on the prophet Joel from the Old Testament, with blood and fire and smoky mist. And of course we have the fiery tongues from Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, now alight in the church's gatherings, where we see all races counterculturally welcomed together and given a common mission with great rejoicing in every language. The Tower of Babel from the Old Testament has just been dynamited. All the confusion of our language and the bitterness of human divisions are being set aside. Human history is being reset for a future marked by unity and solidarity, beginning with a new human adventure called the Church. Now, Psalm 104 echoes this message this morning, with God's Spirit presiding over creation, over both life and death. And if you missed it, look again. There's the subduing of Leviathan. Now, every ancient seafaring culture feared this image, the symbol of chaos, of storm, of disaster at sea. Leviathan, in our psalm this morning, is just God's plaything, sporting in the deep. And this tells us that God's people are being summoned to a life beyond fearfulness. In our 1 Corinthians passage today, Paul starts by telling the church that they move beyond where they were back in their pagan days, with their dumb and powerless gods. And when he talks about the Spirit and confessing Jesus Christ, what he's actually doing is putting certain big talkers who claim to be spiritual on notice, because the church is caught up in Jesus Christ and in his lordship, and that's what it means to be spiritual. This means, again, that each one of them has a place in God's mission, as Paul sets it out, fitting together in the church like a coronavirus lockdown jigsaw puzzle. Every piece matters. Now, finally, friends, in our gospel today from John, the risen Jesus Christ dispels the fear of his disciples, peace be with you, twice, and summons them to join his mission. In the teeth of the world's evil, they are being tooled up by the Holy Spirit to live challengingly, to call out the lies, but also to bring new beginnings to people who cry out for them, the power to forgive and to heal. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained. Now, we priests in the Anglican tradition have this verse read over us at the moment of our ordination. But surely every Christian has their part in the church's priestly calling. Called and freed to live strongly, confident in God's friendship, not paralysed by self-doubt so we are frightened to open our mouths, and not letting ourselves be weakened by shame so we feel that we don't have the right or the authority to speak up and to love and to reach out in God's name. Now, this is true for many, this sad reality that Nietzsche spotted. But it doesn't have to be true for us, does it? So, come with me to the imaginative heart of God's Trinitarian adventure here in the Eucharist. And get ready to unpack more dimensions of it next week on Trinity Sunday, and the week after that with Corpus Christi. Because here in the Eucharist, the Holy Spirit's loving, energizing claim on us, creative claim on us, is renewed week by week. The big red tricycle is polished and waiting. And it's got your name on it, your baptismal name. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.